The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
This will go down as a TKO victory for Matthäus Kamrot.
I am a complete fighter, you know. I very hard training, jiu-jitsu, striking, wrestling. I think I'm going to be a problem for everybody in this division.
Matthäus Kamrot!
AJ Dobson with an absolutely dominant performance in our feature bout of the night.
Let's just throw caution to the wind. I believe in my power. And I just wanted to stand and trade with him.
AJ Dobson!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. We're dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I will, as we start, before we bring in the first of our three guests, apologize for a little background noise. My construction is finished. As you can see, my bedroom is still a shithole.
Oh, Jimmy, I'm sorry. You said background noise. I thought anybody that's watching this and they see the background, like the visual, I thought you were filming something. I thought you were filming an episode of Hoarders.
It does look very messy.
What is going on? It's very embarrassing.
Well, I know. It really is.
It's not.
Now, we were living out of my room for 10 months. Mm-hmm. And now that, because we are taping, we're doing a UFC watch along for UFC 280. Just Matt and myself once again. It's been over a year. And we're doing it in my living room. I just got my sofa and all my rugs back yesterday. They were in 10 months of storage. So before they come in with a film crew and I subject fucking poor Matt, yeah. I'm having them cleaned, Jimmy, and washed so you don't sit in a dirty area.
Jimmy.
I apologize.
You know I'm a fucking animal. You know I'm a
sad. I know.
You know what I mean? Hey, you know who we're having on later? Look at the shirt I'm wearing now. Look. Cro-Mags.
Yes.
Oh, I know Jack Osborne isn't in a rock band, but his dad is Ozzy Osborne.
Is that his dad?
Yeah. Oh. You're friends with him. And now the Cro-Mags, he wasn't in that band, but my friend Harley Flanagan is in that band, the Cro-Mags. And I figured it's the same type of music. I don't listen to the headbanger, bite off the head of a bat shit. I don't listen. It's not my thing.
I'm sure Jack knows Harley, yeah. He knows everyone.
Well, I like the name drop. You know, because when he sees these, like, who's this bald gentleman? He's not down with what I'm down with. And I'll go like this. Look in the screen. Look what I see. Look. What's up, buddy? Kind of cringy now. I'm sorry. Should I change my shirt? Because no. I don't know one song. I just know my buddy's in the band.
Our first guest. Jack will be on a little later. AJ Dobson's appearing. Our first guest fighting Beneil Dariush. Matthäus Kamrot is fighting. They're on the main card. Let me see what fight they are exactly. It's a very, very hectic weekend coming up. I get to see Matt. We get to watch. I literally get to sit with my friend and watch the fight. They are the second fight up after Chukagi and Fiero on the main card. So we'll get Matthäus. I want to make sure, too. I've heard his name pronounced Matthäus and Matthäus, and I want to make sure I'm saying it properly. So I'm going to ask him.
I think we got some people in the I want to catch up with you, though.
Yes, buddy, but
I want to talk to you.
We have plenty of time. We can chat about anything you like. His fight with Sarukian was fucking amazing.
I told you to. God damn it. Didn't I tell you to watch that?
I did watch it.
All right. But
well, so it's the main event.
Doesn't it make you feel I got what you're saying.
There you go. Yeah.
You're talking about Gavroche fight. Like, he's here.
I want to make sure I've heard your name pronounced a couple of different ways. Mateusz. I want to say your name properly. What is the proper name to say your first name?
Mateusz.
Oh, Mateusz. Okay, Israel. Okay.
Mateusz from Poland. Mateusz. But I want to ask, like, which is better, like that or like that?
The other way.
This way.
There you go. Yeah, because that's full. Thank you, sir.
Okay, great.
And now, where are you now? You're obviously in Abu Dhabi.
Yes.
When did you arrive? How much time do you give yourself to adjust?
Last Wednesday, I coming to Abu Dhabi like 11 days before to show.
Have you adjusted to the time? Because that's such a huge difference. Are you still kind of upside down, or you've kind of settled in?
One more piece.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I want to say that the English, my second language, and sometimes I can't, like, problem to understand, you know, but I try.
That's
no
my fault.
Problem. My friend is talking very fast.
I apologize. I talk fast. Have you adjusted to the time yet?
I'm feeling great. You know, acclimatization was really, really great. Body great. So everything going like I want to do it.
Good.
Your first martial art, was it wrestling? I mean, was wrestling your first discipline? Did you learn wrestling first as a child? How old?
Exactly. Wrestling is my DNA in my heart. When I was 10 years old, I started my first training.
10 years old? Now,
yes.
When did you start your striking? 10 years old, you started wrestling, you're a grappler. When did you start your punching and your kicking?
I started wrestling when I was 10 years. I was a wrestler in the Polish national team. And when I finished my high school, when I was 10 years, then I to translate MMA and I start striking. So this was like 10 years ago.
Did you fight when you were a kid? Because what made you start training? Did you fight in your neighborhood or did you just want to learn to fight?
Like sports fight is my life, you know. When I was kids, this is maybe not good, but many times I fight in the street, you know. Yeah. my lot of friends going to wrestling school, wrestling gym, and moving, okay, like my neighbors, okay, we're going together. And one time my friends finish, but me, I keep going, and I am here in Abu Dhabi today.
Where did, for everybody listening, where did you grow up? Where are you from?
I'm from Poland, to small village, Kudowa Zdrój. This city I start training, but then like 2 years more, I moved to different city. When was the best gym in the Poland, you know, Natality. And then I trained this gym. I sleep dorms, you know, I didn't sleep in my house with my family. I moved to dorms, different city, and then I live with my friends, one room, you know, like four people, one room, and everybody go to training.
How popular is MMA in Poland, the UFC and MMA in general?
It's popular now, like every year is growing because in Poland we have the biggest organization in Europe, KSW. And when I start fighting MMA, I was in KSW fighter. I get 17-0 record, 2 double champion, 2 division. And because KSW growing in Poland.
Congratulations.
Now we have former 2 champions like Joanna Jędrzejczyk is from Poland. She was 5 times UFC champion. And Jan Błachowicz, light heavyweight guy.
You just signed a contract with the UFC too. You just signed a new contract?
Yes, I signed new contract before my fight with Benil Dariush.
Congratulations. How many fights? How many fights?
4.
4 fights. That must make you feel very relaxed that you know that you have at least 4 fights coming up.
Yeah, this is gonna be my first fight in the new contract, but I am so happy that with this new contract. You know, I have manager from American Top Team, Dan Lambert. He's big person in MMA, in UFC. That I am happy that I can working with him.
The lightweight The lightweight division is very stacked. What do you think of the main event between Oliveira and Makhachev?
Yeah, you are right. It's very stacked. Too many superstars in this division, you know. And like main event, UFC 280, I see this is unbelievable fight, you know. I think if Islam doesn't make stupid mistake this fight, I think he should do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now,
of course, Oliveira is dangerous fighter. He's striking in jiu-jitsu, but I think Islam have more tools to beat him. You know, in the ground, like strong, big, good wrestler. You know, controlling the head, make pressure, make tired, and that's it.
Yep.
Now, you fought some good names like Jeremy Stevens. Yep. Diego Ferreira, tough guys.
Submitted Jeremy, yeah.
Yeah, submit him. So Benil Darush is he this is the biggest now name. So when you got this name, when you got Benil, how excited were you to get a name, a guy ranked as high as him?
I am super excited, you know. Benil is one of the best guys in the lightweight division. He's number 6. He has 7 win fight streak. He's all rounder, dangerous everywhere, you know. But you know, if you climb to Mount Everest, you need checkpoint. Yeah. Now the checkpoint is for the Darius for me, but this is the highest checkpoint. I think he's great fighter. Sorry, He's great fighter. I am so happy because every single part, my next opponent is high ranking. But if I be honest, I don't see change how he can win with me.
What do you think about the fact that Benil, he hasn't been taken down in 5 years? He hasn't been taken to the ground. Nobody got a takedown on him, Garrod, in 5 years.
Excellent. Waiting to upcoming Saturday night, you know? Yeah. And then we're going to ground. And I hope so, because my last opponent was when I keep taking down, everybody, get up. Now I hope so, and I accept that I can roll with Darius in the ground, you know. I accept excellent fight in the jiu-jitsu fight.
What do you believe, what do you think of his ground game, of Benil's ground
game? My or Darius?
I know you think yours is excellent. Yours is excellent. What do you think of Benil's?
Yeah, Benil Darius is excellent grappler. Like 10 years ago, he was world champion in BJJ. Yeah, probably high level, very, very strong, very big, put pressure on the time. But this is my matchup dreams, you know. I want to fight of the best, one of the best guys in the division. When I signed contract in UFC 2 years ago, this was my goal, fighting with the best guy. And now my dreams come true, you know. I'm living in American dream, brother.
Yes, and you've been sparring with Dustin Poirier?
Yes.
Do you think you'll ever have to, because I think right now he's ranked 2nd, is he somebody that you would fight if you had to fight?
My fight with Dustin?
If they asked you to fight, yeah.
I don't thinking about yet, you know, because I have big test behind me. But we are together from one gym. I have manager from American Top Team. I hope soon we never meet together, you know, because Dustin is great person. He helped me a lot. He give me tricks in MMA experience and striking still. I hope so we never meet together.
Right, because you're friends.
We are friends and teammates, you know. This is not good for team, for gym, for everybody from Florida.
Mateus, what do you like to do when you're not training? What do you like to, when you want the day off, what do you like to do? You go for a walk, the movies, you read a book. Give me a hobby of yours.
I have two kids. My daughter has 5 years old, and my son 2 years. Okay. If I don't go into training, I have a lot of work, you know.
I understand.
This time I bring my family to Florida with my camp. And this was like, when I finish my work in gym, I'm going to home, another job.
Yes.
Play with kids, you know.
Good for your cardio. Good. Yeah, you're getting all over the place.
Exactly. But to be honest, you know, I do in my life only sport. Everything what I doing in my life, only two sports. Like when I have Saturday and Sunday, I like a rest, doing nothing, you know. But if you have family, everything you can do it, some things.
Do you travel with your wife and kids, or do you like to go fight alone with just your team?
No. Now I bring my family to American Top Team. We go to together, but 4 weeks before event, my family back to Poland, because, you know, I need to 100 focus, just meditation, like no excuses to around me.
Right. You don't want to have the regular like distractions.
Distraction. And moment when I am here in Abu Dhabi on different show, this is like war. You know, this is not time for family and kids. This is my idea, you know. When I coming to Abu Dhabi, just more wood, best mode, and nothing more. Just my friends and everybody thinking about just what I can do in that bring the get the win.
Business. Yeah. Got to take care of business.
Business and war, you know. Business and war. We are fighters, you know. I gonna, when I step to octagon, Benil Dariush wanna kill me, you know, break my head. And I have to be ready.
It's right. It's true, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's very true. Do you do anything when you're in Abu Dhabi? Will you go out and see the city, or do you only focus on training?
Just focus. Just focus, cut weight, meditation, you know, read booking. That's it. You know, I am here to work. I want to be the best in the world. I can do it in the city, play something. This time going to be after fight.
Right.
Well, you're doing something right, because I mean, look at your record. You're 21-1. Only one loss in the UFC by split decision, and that was over a couple of years ago. So I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You are on fire.
Yeah.
Thank you. I try to be fired. You know. Yeah. Exactly. 2 years ago, I signed contract and I get first loss. But this was difficult situation because I did 3 fights with 3 months, you know, because I want to finish my contract with UFC. I did quickly 2 fights, and then UFC tell me, okay, we have fight for you. Five weeks. And because contract with UFC was my dream, I say, okay, no problem. Give me fight. And you know what is it? Sometimes it's good when you did fight and you need rest, like a couple months, like more motivation, more extra. And then going one more.
100%. And hey, you've been right. Since then, you've shown, you know, you do not one loss. You're doing it right, bro.
Yeah.
And do you train with Bo Nickel? Trains where you guys are?
Sometimes, yes. I meet him in the American Top Team. Great person. He is wrestler like me. So we have the same vibes, you know. I'm super... super excited that he signed contract with UFC.
Yeah, it's great. What do you think of him as a prospect, as a young fighter?
He's big prospect, and it is funny because I thinking, Adesanya is champion right now, the middleweight division. Yeah, Bo signed contract right now, but if he meet, for example, right now, I believe that Bo can beat him in Adesanya. You know, because Adesanya is just striker. Bo is excellent wrestler from USA. So he has a great ground game to beat everybody in this division.
Well, the only loss for Adesanya, he went up in weight, was to Jan, who put him on the ground. You know, Jan is a lot bigger, and, you know, I respected Israel for doing that, but he did show that he has a hard time with a guy who's as good as Jan on the ground.
Exactly, exactly. No, Jan is excellent fighter and a great person in life, you know. Many years ago, we trained together in one gym. I excellent good know this guy. Great fighter, and I hope so. Now he has next fight in December. I hope so he beat in Ankalaev and then get the next title shot.
You know, I could tell, you know, you're a great fighter, but I could see how much you love the wrestling. Like, the wrestling, I could tell, is, like, you root, if there's fighters on the card, one guy's taekwondo, whatever, jiu-jitsu, one guy's, you go for the wrestler. You like the wrestling. Is that, like, in? Oh,
I love it. I love it, wrestling. Wrestling is my DNA, you know. And every single fight, I show my wrestling skills. But every single fight is different technique. Not all the time, right. Double leg, single leg. No, I like mix, both. Something here. Oh, look this, boom. Go to heel, ankle, for example, you know. But you are a wrestler too, right?
I'm a jiu-jitsu man. I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu. So,
but the wrestler is good.
Yeah, I like the takedowns. But I'll go to my guard and I'll look for an ashigarami. We're both grapplers. We love it. But I have nothing else. I can't wait to see this man fight.
Yeah.
Thank you. I am super ready. I am super ready because when I am in Florida, you know, I am in great company in ATT, you know. When I train, I am feeling like I'm growing every single day. Feeling strong, fast, super fit.
Well, Mateusz, did I say it right? Am I saying it properly?
One more piece.
Mateusz, did I say it right?
Yeah, right. Good.
Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great fight against Beneil. I'm really looking forward to this. Your fight with Sarukian was, an incredible fight, and congratulations on that. And you're a very, very exciting fighter, so we can't wait to see you fight on Saturday.
Thank you so much. I am happy that, like, Sarukian, one of dangerous men in this division, is behind me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this fight was three months ago, but I'm feeling now I am different animal. I am physically and mentality. Now yeah. I am 31 years old. I'm feeling like I have in my prime time.
Yep.
Beautiful. All right. Hey, best
have a great
bro.
Fight. Yeah.
Take care, my man.
Nice talking
thank
to you.
Thank you, guys. Thank
okay.
you, guys. Bye-bye. See you next time.
Yes. Take care, man.
Can't wait.
Take care. Bye.
UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event as Neds offers a split decision return. This means if you place a head-to-head bet on any main card fight and your pick loses by split decision, Neds will pay you out as a winner. Plus, you can pump up your odds with a UFC multi simply by combining your favorite markets across all fights on the card. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. For those sports punters, Neds Same Game Multi is now available on more sports than ever before. And for the racing fanatics, Neds Blended is available on all three racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners to win in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Look, whatever you bet on, take it to the Neds level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Split decision return eligible on first $250 staked. Minimum blended odds are $1.10. Terms and conditions apply are available on the Neds website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Please call 1-800-858-858.
Hey, that's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, he seems very confident. He's a nice guy, and he just seems ready. Then again, Beneil is confident and a nice guy, too. So, yeah,
but if he could sing, though, Gamrot, he would say, Beneil won't like it.
See,
rock
I'm on
the Casbah. Rock the Casbah. Beneil won't like it. I don't know. Maybe he will like it. Come back.
Come back. Now, yeah. The problem is when you're over on Saturday, when we're watching.
Oh.
I can't X out the box.
Oh, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to be like, I'm going to look right in your eyes when I do it. And you're going to turn away. I'm going to take your chin like one of those movies. I'm going to make you look at me.
I know. Good luck grabbing my chin. Good luck finding it.
I'll find one of them. No, Jimmy, you lost the weight.
Come on. I lost some weight. I'm not there yet.
You lost a lot of weight. Even your face.
Thank you, man.
You don't know when your face starts to get... I was going to make a double chin joke, but it's actually looking like chiseled a little bit. Like,
it's getting there.
Look, you know what? That's what's good about having a little facial hair. Because if I normally do this, look.
Yeah, but you have abs.
That looks like, I still look like a fat guy, though. Look.
Yeah.
No?
No, you don't look like a fat guy.
Anyway. I look like Augustus. Get out of Augustus. Hey, did you find Augustus's mom, even though she was heavy, did you find her strangely attractive?
No, I didn't find her sexy. Oh, no.
Dude, hey. Sometimes you got to fight in that open weight class. Let me tell you. Oh, Augustus. Look at her. She's all like little perky. No,
man, I did not. No.
Jimmy, no. Please, out of all the girls they have a crush on, Augustus's mom. Come on, man.
Yeah, I'd rather bang one of the old ladies in Charlie Bucket's house.
Who the fuck is Charlie Bucket?
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Charlie's the guy in the bed. No, they must.
Charlie's the kid.
Oh, Charlie's the kid. That's right.
And then the grandpa.
The grandpa, and it was like five of them in a bed.
Oh, shit, in the bed. It must have been awful.
What do you think that must smell like under those covers?
Exactly. A nursing home.
They must all be soiled.
Yeah. Yeah. They're poor. Both two grandparents trying to fuck. Yeah, just terrible.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I like when he finds out that they're going to the factory, and it's like he did a fucking...
I know. Now he's up and out of bed.
He got a fucking shot of adrenaline in his heart. He starts getting up. Whoa! He's doing a fucking dance.
We should do a few picks. Yes. This is an incredible card.
Jimmy,
which one do you want to start with?
I don't know, but can I tell you really quick? My gym is my school is like 15 minutes away. 20 tops if it's traffic. But so I made a mistake the other day. I don't know if I told you this the other day, but. I thought like I had to take a leak, but I wasn't sure. But yeah. I'm like, whatever, I'll just be at the school in 2 seconds. But it's really not 2 seconds. It's kind of longer than I thought. So it was in the morning. It was like I do the 7 a.m. class. So this is around like almost before 6 in the morning. So really quick, Jimmy, I turn off the exit and there's a car going so fuck. There's nobody on the road. There's one car going so fucking slow, dude. And I'm not even 2 minutes away, but I'm not making it. How about this? Not making it, Jimmy. I'm not making it. I gotta be. I'm not gonna make it. So thank goodness I had an empty coffee cup.
Yeah.
And it was pretty large. It was a large one. So you know what I do. I do what I have to do. I take it out and I put the whole thing. And I put my main I'm gonna try to clean it up because there's people listening, there's kids in the car. So I put the main thing in there and I put the couple of berries in there too.
You know I have no doubt that you're fitting everything.
I'm not going to say twig and berries because it ain't a twig, Jimmy. Okay, Jimmy. But listen to me. I put the old meat and potatoes in there, right?
Yeah.
So, but now I'm going. I'm
telling you. Slim Jim and grapes.
Well, no, that's a horrible visual. No, not at all.
Okay.
But anyway, so I'm pissing down Round Swamp Road, right? And I'm like, oh, thank God. But it's so bad that I don't even feel like I'm going. It's just going, you know?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the berries start getting a little wet. So that's how it's getting on. It's feeling, Jimmy, I don't want to get into a TMI.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm tea.
You're steeping your bag.
I'm tea. Yes. Total tea bag. And it's warm and it's not good because I'm not happy about this.
Sure.
Because it starts on the berries and then what? You know what I mean?
Yeah, then it's all of a sudden in the pubes.
I go, this is not good. I go, I'm coming to an end here. And I did. But meanwhile, I'm dunking my berries. You know what I mean? And I got my the trunk out of it. You know? So then I get there, thank God I had a t-shirt like in the back seat. I reached back. So when I took them out, I put them on there so I didn't get on my clothes. And then I made it in, I dumped out everything. So it was what we call, Jimmy, a close call.
You ought to get yourself something. Matt, you ought to get yourself something. I have something that I don't know. I drive with. It's in the car all the time. It's shaped like almost like a banana, and you can piss into it. It's an amazing thing.
Jimmy,
it saved me.
I got something called pride.
Yeah.
I don't have to piss in the car. Usually.
You're dipping your bag into a cup full of your own tinkle.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good, but I made it. And it's what we call a close call. Let's talk about some fights.
Yeah, great, great, great call. Whatever fight you want to start with. Do you want to start with Caitlin Chookagian against Manon Furiot?
Yes, but as we're talking about that, I'm watching your buddy Jack Osborne hit some pads. Oh, he's sparring.
Yeah. He took Taekwondo.
What is he doing? Tell him not to put his head straight up in the air like that. I'll give him a punch right in the mouth.
Yeah, tell him. That was up to him.
Dude, that's nice, though. He's working, though.
Yeah.
He's working. I like that. Yeah. All right, let's get back there. I'm not threatening that guy.
No, I know what you mean.
I'm joking around. I just wanted to keep his head off the line. What are we talking about now?
Manon Furiot. I always say her name wrong. It's a French name. It's hard to say. But she is a fucking killer. She's 9-1, fighting our pal Caitlin Chookagian. Opening fight. Caitlin's 18-4, though. I mean, let's be honest. Caitlin's on, I think, a 4 or 5 fight win streak. How many fights has Caitlin won in a row? I'm going to look that up, actually.
I think you should look that up.
Yeah. I'm going to, buddy.
You know?
I'm not going to guess.
AJ Dobson only fought once in the UFC, and he lost.
Who did he lose to?
Oh, who did he lose to? He lost to Jacob Malcolm. But I want to see if that was on regular notice. Or if it's in short notice, I should say.
Yeah, she's won 5 out of 6.
He was born in Brooklyn. Oh, that was on short notice. All right.
Short notice?
Leave me alone, Jimmy.
You said short notice.
I said short notice. You didn't hear because your thing's
going. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Listen. Oh, shit. He's got fucking. Wait a second. He's got Mark Coleman as his mentor.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know it was Shamrock. Frank Shamrock is what got him interested in UFC. Very interesting.
And who did?
Ken Shamrock, I believe. Or Frank Shamrock. Might have been Ken.
All I know
one of the Shamrocks.
He's known for being a striker, you know, and his main mentor is Mark Coleman. Mark Coleman, he's not Hands of Fire Coleman. He's the king of he's the Godfather of Ground and Pound or whatever. You know what I mean? That old Hands on Fire, that's gonna hit you later when you're driving, Jimmy, when you're on the fucking train. He doesn't have great hands. Matt was joking around. Let's get him. He's in the way to. Hey, look at it, you fuck. Look, I'm the champion, the dad joke champion, you see, sucker? Let's get him in.
There you are.
There you go. You good
looking
son of a gun.
Good, how are you?
Nice to meet you, AJ.
You too, sir. It's an honor.
You were born in Brooklyn?
Yes, sir.
And then you moved to Jersey as a kid. I was going to wonder why.
Where in Jersey?
What's that?
Oh, I grew up in New Jersey. Whereabouts?
Somerset.
Central. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was in North Brunswick, so not too far away.
Yeah.
Where were you living when you started training?
I was in Columbus. So I moved to Ohio right before 7th grade. And then started training when I was like 19 after I graduated and stuff. So
your parents, was there a job transfer or military? What made you go to Columbus?
Yeah, my mom worked for Chase, and I think when they acquired Bank One or something like that, she moved to Ohio.
Oh, that must have sucked right before you start 7th grade. Like, how does your mom tell you, like, look, this is happening, and do you fight it, or how is that? That's a tough time to move.
Growing up with a single mother, you know, it wasn't even an option. It was, hey, we're moving, so.
Okay, and that was it.
I accepted. And my mom's Jamaican, so wasn't even any debating on that.
Oh, okay. So, now, have you been back? Have you been out of Jamaica? I've never been.
Yeah, I used to go like almost 2 times a year every year for a while. I kind of stopped after high school and stuff, but hopefully after this fight, I can go back.
Oh, okay.
So I'm hearing that you found MMA through Ken Shamrock? How'd that happen?
Well, no, I was a big fan of professional wrestling. And Shamrock, he used to have the short gloves and everything like that. And that's when, you know, I kind of knew about MMA back then. I never really got into it then, but I found out about it through Ken Shamrock. And then when I got older, I fell in love with it.
Oh, and you're also a lot of guys in MMA. Like I was a big wrestling fan many years ago, like WWE, but I don't really watch it anymore. But I'm amazed at how many fighters really love WWE. Do you still watch it or did you kind of transition away from it?
Not really. I have a respect for it. It's a brutal sport, you know, big. It takes a lot of talent, and their schedule is unbelievable. So I have a lot of respect for it. And I watch a couple of guys that you know, really take the sport well and everything like that. But in terms of like the popular wrestling, I'm not really a fan of that.
Now, could we really call it a sport?
Sports entertainment.
I mean, you're about to fight in a sport. You're about to be locked in a cage with another man trying to do bodily harm to you and you to him. There's a lot at stake. There was a girl at my school, nice girl, and she was telling people she does the fake pro wrestling, you know, the fake stuff.
Yeah.
Like, is anybody coming to my match? I finally got a title shot. It's like, what? I mean, it's one thing. It's the same as a kid going, hey, you want to see me play in a play? I'm going to play a fucking fighter in a fucking play. You know, it's not the real thing. Yeah. You don't really have a title shot. What are you talking?
They get hurt. And like those bumps are so brutal. Like I respect the hell out of wrestling, but yeah, technically it really isn't a sport. But
yeah, man, it's like calling a stuntman a fucking professional athlete. I mean, they're professional.
Well, they are though in a weird way. It's just a different level. Like the guys in wrestling do a lot of shit, like jumping off that top rope and landing stomach first and figuring out how to not to both die. Yeah. The way Stone Cold would drop people, and like the fact that a bunch of necks weren't broken. Like they're pretty good at coming close to fucking you up, but then all of a sudden the move works where you don't get really, really hurt.
What really like the simple moves, hurt, like a leg drop or like, you know, a German suplex, moves that you think, oh, like really simple, like really hurt people. So, you know, it's one of those sports I would never do, but I definitely respect it.
It's one of those things where I who knows, it might be worse on your body than MMA, but the only reason I wouldn't call it a sport is because we know who's winning and losing before we even meet up and shit. You know what I mean? So
I don't like when they step and punch. Like when they step on the floor and punch. I've never seen, no matter how good a striker. What's that?
Or slap their leg with the kick.
Yeah, I just.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
Yeah. Or when they still sell it. It's like
It's a little showmanship. And you were also in theater, too. So I guess a part of you understands that acting. How many years did you take theater?
So I was a theater kid all through elementary school. And I stopped it as soon as I moved to Ohio. I was like, try being a jock. So.
Oh, okay. Now, did you not like the reputation of acting? And you're like, I don't want these guys to know I act. Or did you just lose interest in it when you were a kid?
Not necessarily. And honestly, if I had to redo it, I wish I would have never like played football or anything like that and would have just sticked with drama and then found an MMA gym or something like that versus doing all this other stuff. But, you know, definitely something I wouldn't mind getting back into. But it was definitely my love when I was a child.
Aren't you glad you didn't play? Aren't you glad you didn't play football for long? The amount of damage, you take so much less damage in MMA than you do in football to your head.
And I only played football for 2 years. Like they literally, one of the coaches had to come to my house and beg my mom for me to play my junior year. So I played junior year and senior year, and I still got more injured in those 2 years than I ever have playing doing MMA.
Yeah.
But yeah, overrated.
Very dangerous.
Now, you have one fight in the UFC, and it is a loss, but to Jacob Malcon. But let's be fair about this. It was a short notice fight on your part, right?
Yes and no. I mean, I think the biggest thing I take away from that is I'm not Superman. I came into that fight really injured, and I had a lot of nagging injuries that I should have taken care of. The biggest, a bucket handle meniscus tear. Do road work. I couldn't do jiu-jitsu or wrestling or anything like that. So it's one of those things where I kind of just had to get out of my own way and be adult about it. But I learned my lesson, so.
We had Michael Chandler on Monday, and he mentioned a bucket handle tear. I had never heard that expression, and I've heard it twice in a week. Is that worse than a full tear?
Yeah, so like a regular tear is just like, you know, a part of it frayed. The bucket handle, in the middle of it, it looks like a handle. So right. Like the meniscus is like this versus like a regular meniscus that'll look like this. Like a bucket handle looks like that, like because it's open in the middle. And I had it for so long that the front part of it kind of flipped back behind my knee. So when I got the surgery, like usually like a bucket handle, you know, or a meniscus tear, it cleans up really easily. Like 15 minutes, they go in and snip. But mine, it took like 35, 40 minutes because they had to dig it out from my knee and, you know, cut it. It was just stupid on my part.
Are you fully out while they're doing that, or is it?
Yeah, I was completely out. It felt like 2 seconds to me, but the doctor came in and really had to, like, told my girlfriend and everything, like, you know, I don't know, you know, how he's going to react to the surgery. I had to take a lot of the meniscus out and all that stuff, so.
How long before you could train once you came out?
Well, they said to wait, like, a good couple months, but I was back training after, like, eight weeks, so.
So is it scary? Like, you said that you kind of wish you had taken care of your injuries. Is part of it because, like, hey, it's the first fight they're offering me and I don't want to say no? It's like being late your first day of work. Was that what it was?
Well, like, after, like, right after the Contender Series fight, they're actually going to have me fight that weekend. And it was going to, like, break the record for the fastest turnaround fight in UFC. But my hand was also hurt. Like, I had a bunch of injuries. My hand was, like, I couldn't even close my hand, so I couldn't take that fight. So I felt like I was letting them down. So I was like, ah! So they offered me another fight right after that. And I was like, I'll take it. No problem.
Sure.
Just one of those things, you know, want to please everybody, want to be exciting, want to stay in the fans' eyes. You know, the sport moves so fast. I just wanted to stay out there. But
yeah, any momentum, you want to ride it.
Yeah.
AJ, you got a relationship with your friends with Mark Coleman? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Mark Coleman. How do we know Mark, the former champion?
Well, I was a longtime training partner of Matt Brown, and Coleman's from well. So Matt invited him to his gym to help him out for one of his camps, and he took a liking to me, and he's been working with me ever since. So it's honestly been a blessing to have him. It's been so amazing.
Yeah, because veterans, I think, are also much cooler under pressure, too, because there's really everything they've seen. There's nothing that's going to happen to you in a fight that they haven't been through or watched 100 times. So I guess there's a calming presence to that as well, someone who's been around as long as Mark Coleman.
Absolutely. Someone that's been around and won so much, won almost every level. It really just gives me a peace of mind when I'm feeling this way. And he's like, it's completely normal. Like, everyone feels that way. Like, it's fine. So, yeah, he's really good for my mental.
But you are adjusted to the time at this point?
Yeah. I'm adjusted to it at this time. I don't know if you heard me before, but I said I was able to train at 10:30 my time, which would be the fight time that I'd fight in Abu Dhabi. So.
Oh, so you adjusted before you left?
Yeah, for weeks. This whole camp, I was having my hardest session in the morning.
Oh, okay. And are you doing anything? We just had Matosh Gamrot on and asked him the same question. Do you do anything when you're in the city, or are you just, you don't want to leave the hotel, you just want to focus, or will you go out and unwind and take your mind off things?
I mean, seeing as how I got here a little late, it's probably, you know, too late to kind of wander around or do anything. So I've kind of just been focusing up, staying in the hotel. And I mean, it's a big hotel, so I mean, I can get lost in here. So not really too worried about it.
Do you ever look around and think about, like, man, I started this thing, and now look at me. I'm in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Every, especially, like you said, having Mark Coleman in my corner, just being able to, or Matt Brown, training with those guys, seeing their numbers in my phone, seeing them text me, you know, every day I'm like, man, you know, I've been at this for 10 years. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, it, every time, every chance I get, I do sit back and, you know, think about how lucky I am and really embrace the moment.
What do you like to do when you're not training? I want the audience to get to know you a little bit better. What do you like to do in downtime?
You know, pretty boring, man. I've been at this dream for so long. I mean, the only thing I really do besides, you know, play video games, hang out with my girl, is my business. I have a health and wellness business. When I injured my knee and I couldn't fight and I couldn't do anything, I had to figure out a way to kind of, you know, generate money and while helping myself, you know, get better without surgery. As a fighter, I can't really get surgery or anything like that. So I was looking up a lot of like natural remedies to help my knee. And one of the things that I found was this product called sea moss. And, you know, I'm Jamaican, so, you know, sea moss is something that's been a part of our culture for years. Me being in Ohio, it's not really there. You know what I mean? No one really knows about it. So my grandma actually reminded me of it. I started taking. And it really reduced the swelling in my knee and allowed my knee to move. Like, it unlocked my knee, unlocked the meniscus. So I was able to, you know, at least spar and train somewhat. So I was like, okay, if I'm using this and this is something that I actually have to take, you know, why not make a business out of it? So
nice.
Started, you know, researching and seeing, you know, different stores that would potentially take that. And that's been kind of my focus outside of fighting.
Interesting.
Wild, man. And before we let you go, very important. What kind of video games you playing? What are you playing?
Oh man, I'm playing Call of Duty. The one game I'm playing a lot is called Chivalry 2. I don't know if you heard of it. It's like a medieval game.
Tell me, what is it? What is it on?
With dragons and stuff?
No. No, so it's like a massive multiplayer game. It'll be like 60 people on each side. You have like a giant sword or and shield. It's super graphic. Like, you chop people's arm off and they'll keep fighting and all that stuff. It's because now, I couldn't fight one of the games that kind of got me through that lull.
If things go right, which I feel you're going to do fantastic this weekend, think about getting an Oculus Quest 2. The VR, it's the new, it's what's, hey man, these kids don't know what's
up. I'm Oculus telling you. Part of my training.
Say again?
The Oculus was actually part of my training. I'd gotten the Oculus a while back and I got this game, it's like box, like a Thrill of the Fight, I think it's called.
Yeah, it's good.
Where it's like, yeah. And like, I'll play that game and like get super sweaty and like, you know, actually try out the moves that I'm training and practice.
If you like to shoot, it's fun. It's fun as hell.
Yeah.
I recommend it. If you like the Dungeons and Dragons type thing, get Blade and Sorcery. It's cool, man. You're like, you got a sword. You're really fucking fighting people. It's awesome. And then Population 1, if you like the shooting game. Population 1 is the fucking game. They might not know me, my name. They know Kamora Savage in that motherfucker. They know when they see Kamora, when that board comes up and they see the list of people and they see Kamora Savage in that motherfucker, they know. They know they're in for it, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, AJ. I get a little excited about my video game.
I understand, man. Population 1 had me for a while. That was one of those games I've been playing for a while, too.
Love it. Fucking love it. Jimmy.
Yes.
Get with the times, man. Get with the
I know. I have an Oculus Quest too. I play chess in it. I like to play chess. That's what I do. And I've done a little bit of the Fitbit boxing, whatever the Fit boxing, FitX, whatever the fuck it's called.
FitX.
Obviously, I haven't done it in a while. It was good during the pandemic.
Yeah.
AJ, have a great fight. Obviously, Armand Petrosian, you know, he had that great fight against Rodriguez, who is extremely tough. I don't know how much tape you watch. Do you watch a lot of tape before you fight?
Oh, yeah. I've seen all of his fights pretty much.
So you're ready?
Yeah. I can't wait. You know, everyone's scared of a stand-up, but I don't know, man. He seems a little slow and, you know, kind of throws a lot of naked kicks. So I'm ready to mix it up with him. I think it'll be interesting.
Awesome. It was great talking to you. We'd love to have you on again. And have a great fight, man. And look forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much. And Jimmy, I have to say, man, I was a big fan of Opie and Anthony.
Big fan of Patrice.
Really honored to be talking to you, right?
Oh, thanks a lot, AJ. That means a lot. I appreciate it, buddy.
We'll talk to you again.
All right. Yes, take care, man.
Take care, AJ.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Crypto.com, the official crypto partner of UFC. You've definitely seen their logo on our UFC gear, and crypto is something I'm getting into, so this is really a helpful site. With over 10 million users around the world, Crypto.com is the fastest growing crypto app, letting you easily buy and sell more than 150 cryptocurrencies. You can even buy Bitcoin with as little as $1. Crypto.com also offers the most popular crypto card in the world. The Crypto.com Visa card offers up to 8% back on most purchases, and it comes with amazing perks. 100% rebate for your Netflix, Spotify, and Amazon Prime subscriptions. If you already own some crypto, did you know that Crypto.com offers some of the most competitive reward rates of the industry? You can get up to 8.5% on your Bitcoin or Ethereum, 12% on your USDC, and more. Find out how much you can earn by visiting Crypto.com. Get $25 when you apply for a Crypto.com metal Visa card on the Crypto.com app using code UFC25. Again, it's $25 when you apply for the card using code UFC25. It's first come, first serve, so act fast. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. All right. Thank you very much. AJ Dobson fighting Armand Petrosian on Saturday. And we have a non-UFC guest, which I'm really happy about. I always like when my friends can come on. Jack Osborne, everybody knows who Jack is, and has spent the last few years kind of diving into like the paranormal and stuff like that. Everybody associates Jack with the Osbournes, but he spent probably a lot more time investigating the paranormal.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that fucking Jack Osborne's a Ghostbuster?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, and I guess he had an experience when he was a kid.
Hey, don't you know that's bullshit?
I don't know. You ask him.
Who are you going to call? Oh, this is from Jake, the Mighty Ninja. Who are you going to call? Jack Osborne. Ready? Are you ready? Boo!
Boo, Jake.
Hey, boo, Jake. Hey, Jake, let us do the comedy, all right? Get us the fucking guests.
Yeah.
Who are you going to call? Nah. Fucking boo!
Yeah. I just saw Ernie Hudson, too. He was at SiriusXM 2 days ago or yesterday.
Was he really? There yes. he is.
Hey, Jack.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Very nice to meet you.
Yep. Great meeting you, too.
And I'm sure you know Mr. Jim Norton.
Yes. Uncle Jim.
Yes. I was waiting for that. Do you call him Uncle Jim?
No, no, I've requested it, but he just refuses.
Requested it, yeah. You know, he tried to get me to call him Daddy Jim, but that wasn't really good.
Yeah, no, Daddy was quickly shot down. By yeah, the way, Jack has four kids. I can't believe you have four kids. I feel like I've been aware of you like before we met, but it's like you really you're sober 18 years. Like I can't. It feels like just yesterday I was watching you on television as a kid. It's gone by fast. Do you feel that way?
You know, it's one of those things. I mean, you know, it's like when you're sober, time goes by really quickly, but also really slowly at the same time. You know, so it's like, I don't know. It when I think about it in the sense of like just flashing back, it feels like it was yesterday. But when I think about everything that I've done since that, it's like, okay, yeah, that was a long
time. How old are your children? If you don't, sorry, Jimmy, how old are your children?
10, 7, 4, and 14 weeks.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Wow. That's why. How old are you, if you don't mind? Because I mean, I'm 48. I feel like I know time is a weird thing. I remember the Osbournes when it was on MTV, the reality show. So I feel like that was, again, I'm sure that was like fucking 30 years ago. But
20, right?
20.
Yeah, 20, yeah. It was 2002 it had. So yeah, 20.
That's crazy. So how old are you now?
I'm 36. I'll be 37 next month.
Oh, wow.
The weirdest thing was I've been saying I've been 37 for like a year. And I was like, wait a second. I like totally forgot that I was 36.
Oh, good. So you're used to it because going up sucks. But once now you just kind of have 2 years of 37. That's not as bad.
Yeah, it's like whatever.
So you were like, you were literally a teenager. You were like 16, 17 on that show.
Yeah.
That's now, is there any regret showing you at that age? Because, you know, that's, you obviously, you don't, you're not the same person. I mean, you are, but you're not as a kid. Oh, so totally. When you're like, go ahead.
Yeah, there's like, you know, we're all, I think, a snapshot of who we were as a teenager. So, but like, to that point, I think it's funny how like everyone, not everyone, but a large portion of people still kind of think that. I'm like, I don't know how about anyone here, but I'm not the same person I was at 17. You know,
right.
But it was, you know, here's the thing I look at it. At the time, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And it's that thing of like, it was such an amazing experience. It was really cool to be a part of something that was that big. It opened up so many doors to my life. So like as many cons from it, there's quadruple the amount of pros.
Right. I guess so. And you've done some fun shit. Like I look at your career since the Osbournes and as you've gotten and like just the fun shows that you're like, you're doing what a guy would want to do, which is just stuff that you're interested in. You and your dad go on the road. I mean, how much fucking fun is that? Just hanging out with your dad and going to these cool places. And you just got to, it's just a great thing to do because you're enjoying them. And it seems like they're all just kind of passion projects for you.
Oh, fully. Yeah. I mean, I like to not do jobs, which I'm kind of like, oh, I don't really like this. You know, I've been really fortunate, you know, and it's, you know, and there's, you know, there's haters everywhere and there's always, oh, you're only doing what you're doing because you're family. But like, how many people did reality shows from famous families and have a 20-year TV career?
You know, a lot of people disappear and then don't wind up going on to something.
Yeah. And so I've just always, it's all I know at this point. You know, I'm probably, if I had like a real job, I'd be up for retirement in a couple of years, but.
It's one of those things where, now that you kind of can do what you want to do, the paranormal stuff, what got you into that? Like, because I go back and forth with whether or not it's realistic or like, did you ever have an experience in real life?
I had, like before even getting into it, I grew up in like the X-Files era. Like I loved that show in the 90s. It's all I would watch. I was obsessed. I'd read all the books and it really got me into like the paranormal and UFOs. And And it just been like a dorky little nerd hobby for me. And in 2011, I did a paranormal show for like 2 years on Sci-Fi, and that fizzled out. And then it just, but like the paranormal world is so, it's very, it's probably not too dissimilar for the comedy world or the fighting world. It's like you're either respected and you can make something of it, or people just look at you like, yeah, whatever, you know, screw you. And some people really liked the original show I did. And so it kind of gave me credibility in that world, oddly enough, because I really like it was about as credible as like a kick in the teeth. and so I just, you know, pitched this other show and it's just kind of continued. And these last like 4 years, it's just like all I've been doing. It's been great.
But the real question is, do you believe in ghosts?
Okay. So it's a long conversation. And okay. I'll try and truncate it. I think that there is absolutely something going on. Is it 100% the conscious spirit of a once living human? I don't know. But there's been so many, I mean, 50% of the planet believes in ghosts. And I mean, I don't even know how many people have had experiences, but you'll invariably always someone will be like, well, I had this weird thing happen. So for me, I think it's like a couple things. One is, yes, it's the spirit of a once living human. Another is, could it be some kind of interdimensional blip where something in another dimension is just kind of popping over for seconds and then leaving? The other one is it some unknown energy field out there that we just don't know how to detect, kind of like radiation before we figured out what it was, that's causing people to have hallucinations, you know? And are we encountering this energy spectrum and people are like, oh, I just saw something, or wow, I just think I heard something. And the other one, actually, it could be like mold toxicity. You know, magic mushrooms will cause you to hallucinate. You know, invariably we go and look in these old haunted dilapidated houses, probably there's mold there and people are inhaling it for a long time and they could have some kind of hallucination.
That's a balanced way to look at it too, because it kind of leaves, that's another kind of a nod to credibility. It's like, it could be this or it could be that. When you don't have a flag planted so deeply in proving it has to be this, you're open to more possibilities, and that makes it more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there have been times where I've seen doors just open on their own, like literally saw a handle jiggle and a door open. And I've been like, all right, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
You know, and I can't explain that. You know, I'm sure maybe, you know, if we had, you know, 360 degree cameras and laser and all this stuff, you could figure out, well, this was actually because the house shifted and the wind blew. But in the moment, I don't know. I mean,
was there one moment? Oh, go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
It's nothing important. I would always say, like, because my wife believes in ghosts and stuff, because our fathers were both from Italy. I think a lot of the people coming over, like, they I don't know, like old school immigrants, I don't know what it means, but they seen something or there's stories from, like, I don't know what it is about your grandparents and stuff or older people, but you hear stories. Like, he was once telling a story how his father was on the bed and he had a lot of demons in him, you know, he had a lot of stuff he had to repent, you know, and that he was, and they he's like, God, they're taking me. And he said in the Italian, so it sounded cool. And then he went to pull him and he said he felt heavy. He goes, so heavy. My father, Ciro, don't bullshit. And then once he like forgave him or something, he felt light and then he died or something like that. Like, he felt like, oof. Like, so Otto, they couldn't pull him. So it reminded me of like that scene from Ghost when the fucking, whatever that guy's name was, the guy was getting taken by all the fucking demons.
Yep.
I don't
Nick
know.
Nick Avilas.
Yes. And then, you know, so my point is, I would love to see or feel something like that, because that's the way I would know there's something else. So I was telling my wife that I would love to see a ghost. She's like, don't say that. Not in front of me. I go, look, I would love to, because that would show me there's something out there on the other side. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Am I wrong with that, Jimmy?
No, because I think it's encouraging, because at least I'd rather be scared and know that there's some other possibility that when I'm dead, I don't cease to exist. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it is a kind of weird concept, you know, and like to think that like when you die, it's just all this was just, that's it now, black.
Yeah.
It's kind of depressing.
It's really depressing. You're like, I don't know. Like, I understand why people put so much into kind of, you know, faith in the afterlife. I get it. It's a scary thought, you know, and like we've all been knocked out. There's nothing that happens there.
Yeah. That's true.
Knocked out, you've been doing some, I seen some clips of you throwing some hands, hitting some hits. Talk to me about your training.
So I started doing, when I was a kid, I did Taekwondo for like 4 or 5 years. Nice. And then when I was 19, I went from 19 to about 22 or 23. I used to go to Thailand for a couple months a year and go train at Fairtex. And nice. I did a fight out there, which is kind of like a half fight because the guy was like 70.
Oh, but, shit. You know, the guy?
Yeah, he was older. But, you know,
I hope you punched him right in his mouth. What happened?
I did. I'll tell you what, though. I checked a kick, and I've had a pain in my leg for nearly 20 years checking his kick.
You still feel it?
Oh, yeah. And then for the last, like, 2 years, I've just done a deep dive into jiu-jitsu. It's kind of...
Get out of here. Come on, man. What are you... Now, talk to me about jiu-jitsu. Are you still a white belt, which is fine?
No, I'm a blue belt.
Jimmy, he's a fucking blue belt.
I know, it's awesome.
This is great.
I just signed up for my second tournament and just, I'm...
Where do you train?
I train in LA at Street Sports with Crystal Syndra. Okay. He was one of Hanat's first black belts.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
You're enjoying your jiu-jitsu?
I love it. I just got home from jiu-jitsu. So
how many days a week do you go? Because I'm such a fucking lazy idiot. I've wanted to train. I just don't.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing it?
I try and get 3 days a week in, but I'm going to be bumping it up a bit just because of the tournament. But I'm by no means I'm not one of these guys that feels like I'm like, I don't know. I think it's the journey with jiu-jitsu. I always feel like I'm shit, which I think is a great mindset, because I don't feel like I'm ever like very good.
Yeah. But Jack, picture like if you went back in time a couple years and grappled yourself now, what would happen?
Oh yeah. No, I mean,
that, just, you see, what would happen if you got grappled with that little bird up there, Uncle Jimmy? Yeah. You go, oh, you love my daddy, huh? You love my daddy. Listen, Jack, are you ever in Long Island, New York? Because if you
I'm trying to think. I mean, I go to New York a bunch. One of my best friends lives in Long Island, so
I was. Well, if you're ever out there, Jimmy will give you my number. I own a jiu-jitsu school.
Nice.
I'll let you strangle me. I just got back. I have a new knee.
Oh, nice.
I got a new knee, and I just got back. Jimmy, I was going to tell you, I got back to rolling. I'm rolling.
Oh, man. Good.
I'm fucking nice. Rolling, and it makes me so happy.
How long were you out for?
Well, I got my knee replacement on June 28th.
Oh, wow. So okay.
Literally just the last 2 weeks, I'm starting to – I start by strangling the girls. My girls. It's mutual combat, Jimmy. It's a friendly thing. Not just going to strangle. They train jiu-jitsu. Yeah. I start with the ladies. Then I go to the older guys. When I say the older guys, they're probably around my age, but whatever. And then I just started going with some of the – tough purple belts. My knee feels fucking strong. I'm so happy. Anyway,
yeah.
If you love jiu-jitsu, Jimmy, like me and Jack do, you understand when you're off the mat for a bit.
You miss it.
If 10 days and I start losing my shit, I'm like, I can't cope.
I know. And I'm going to just bite the bullet and do it. I keep saying that. But are you going to watch 280 this week, Jack, on Saturday?
I was supposed to be there. I was going to go to Abu Dhabi. And then I had done some change of plans, but yeah, I was going to go with a buddy.
Did you want to go just for the fight?
Yeah. Well, it was like, the good folks at UFC, like, extended an invite, and I was like, yeah, I'll go. It didn't end up working out.
Have you gone to a live events before?
I have. I've probably been to like 4 or 5, but I got to say, I prefer watching it on TV.
You do.
If you're not right up on the cage, it's like you're watching the monitors the whole time and you don't get the commentary. Like, right. I like watching the TV. I like seeing the playbacks. I think the commentary is great. It's, you know, I think it's a, as far as a viewing it, it's, you're either got to be at the cage or at home.
Or you'd rather watch on TV. Yeah.
I'm sure you would have very good seats, Jack. And when you're there, when that music comes on, they don't show this at home when you're watching it, but when they have the Who come on with the, yeah. Bob, you know, oh, yeah. Matt O'Reilly. And then, oh, it gets you. fucking nipples hard. At least it does for me anyway.
That is something you definitely lack at home.
So 280, what do you think? Oliveira or Makhachev? I'm taking Oliveira, even though I think a lot of people think Islam is gonna beat him. I don't see Charles losing this fight.
Admittedly, I've been more focusing on the grappling world than mixed martial arts as of late. So I'm not the most up to snuff on who's kind of dominating in UFC right now.
Sure.
I just, I got done watching my, 48 hours of the Abu Dhabi games. That was,
let's talk about that. What, and how amazing is Gordon Ryan?
It's funny. I was talking to my coach about it like 2 weeks ago, and we were just saying like, is there ever going to be a grappler as good as him ever? I don't know.
I mean, he's only 27, which is really crazy. He's a pupil under my very good friend John Danaher, who's a Henzo Gracie black belt and just a mastermind. And it's just one of those things where Jimmy, in Abu Dhabi, when you're having a super fight over there, you just have a super fight because you proved yourself and you fight another super fight, another guy who was the champion. Or in this case, he had Gordon Ryan had Andre Garval, who's one of the best guys who ever did it in Abu Dhabi. Phenomenal black belt. Not only did he have that super fight, he fought in, what is it, the open division or what? I don't, what division? It was the big boy division, whatever division it was. He went in his own, usually you're not supposed to go in a division because what if you get injured, then there's no super fight, or what if something happens, or if you lose, it kind of diminishes the super fight. He went in that division, killed everybody, and then went in the open and then submitted Andre Garval in the
And he was collectively on the, like, his time on the mat over the entire tournament was like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah. If you listen to John Danaher, he was on the Lex Friedman podcast. We should have him on here.
He's very interesting. Yeah, by the way, I saw Jason Ellis and I told him we would love to have him on.
Oh, I love Jason Ellis. That'd be great. Yeah. But, if you heard him on there about his specific strategies for each opponent and, when he was talking how he when he was going with some of the wrestling-based grapplers, like the guys who were heavy with the wrestling, he wanted to just not tire himself out. He wanted to get each match done as soon as possible without exerting so much energy. Yeah. So the best way to take out the bigger guys was either take the back or attack the legs. So it's very interesting how he's – so when it was a really – like when Nicky Roddy's like, all right, just let him take you down. And because there's a stalling rule. So if he doesn't go to take you down – if you pull guard, you're not allowed to pull guard. It's a negative point. So if you let him take you down, he just gave his leg – lifted his leg up with this big grappler, Nicky Rod, just to pick it up and put him down. He did. He took the bait. Took the fucking bait, and next thing you know, he's leg locked. It's really something to see,
Yeah, I've heard. I haven't watched that tournament. Although I'm mad, I believe you won in Abu Dhabi. Am I correct?
Well, I did very well, Jimmy, back in the day.
Yeah,
but that was 20 something years ago.
That's still impressive.
Still counts.
It still counts.
Hell, I was over there for Abu Dhabi. But listen, I love that you're training, and I love that you're a success story because a lot of kids and there's a lot of even adults, they can't handle fame. You got on television. And you went from being, part of the Osbournes, which in my day was a huge show. It was probably number one on television. It was huge back in the day. Yeah. And you made it through the other side. Now you got a family. You're sober. There's other people. I'm not naming names. They had reality shows. Train wrecks. You know what I mean? With less fame than you had. How did you make it through? How did you make it through and become a success story? You and your sister, I should say.
I think a lot of it was getting sober. I did a lot of work on myself, intensely for like from like 17 to 19, I was just like recovery nerd. That's all I did. It gave me an interesting understanding of myself, which I think at that age, unless you are doing, active kind of self-work, you don't really know yourself yet. And I kind of figured out that like, all right, well, what makes me happy? What doesn't? And I was fortunate enough to be in a really good position to pursue the things that genuinely made me happy and like wholeheartedly. And that was you know, I did a show for 5 years in England called Adrenaline Junkie, and that's when I started doing Muay Thai. And I literally traveled the world doing extreme sports and all these crazy adventures for 5 years. And like, where all my buddies went off to college and got degrees, I was like, oh, I filled up two passports. And, you know, I always joke, like, I was the original, like, Instagram traveling douche before Instagram.
That's funny.
Does the paranormal stuff too? I know you're promoting a new season, right?
Yeah. So I have a show I did. I filmed it at some of it at our house in England. It's called Haunted Homecoming. So I go back to England, to the county where I grew up, and did a bunch of ghost hunts out there, and it was pretty cool.
Does, and I have to ask, because you know Ozzy has had such a reputation, and so, you know, from the days of Sabbath on, the Black Arts, and kind of that whole world, is he a believer, or does this give him the creeps, or is he involved in this at all with you? How does he feel about it?
Okay, so my dad is wholeheartedly believes in UFOs and aliens. Like, if I walk into the house, chances are he's watching either a World War II documentary on YouTube or a UFO documentary on YouTube. Like, that's his thing now. So he's all down with that. The ghost stuff, he kind of wavers with it, because he'll be like, oh, that's bullshit. And then he'll tell you a story. Well, this one time this thing happened, and you're like, okay, so like, what was that?
Right. Yeah. I have the same thing. I think people do, where there's something you can't quite explain, but you don't want to commit to the idea that it's a ghost, but you can't say it's not. What's the most horrifying moment you've had? Like, I'm sure there's been one moment in all these hunts where you're like, this is really giving me the creeps.
So the first thing that pops to mind is, because I've probably done like 100 like filmed professional ghost investigations. And we were at this place just last year called Hillview Manor in Pennsylvania. And it was the weirdest thing. We were in this, it was like an old, they used to call them poor houses, where essentially it was, or a poor farm, where instead of just like a homeless shelter, you would go work on a farm and they would give you like bed and board and food. And then it turned into like a mental health clinic. And we were in this hallway, and it was the craziest thing. It sounded like someone was in the walls, like smacking it with a hammer. And it was just going all over the place. Like, it'd be in front of us, behind us, above us. And, you know, we were like kind of calling out to whatever was there. And like, it literally was, these bangs were so loud, like you could see, like it was vibrating like camera equipment that was on the ground. And we were like, okay, it was really, really intense and like freaked us out. And we decided, all right, this could be pipes. We're getting into winter.
Right.
It's getting colder out. Like, is the building like expanding, contracting, and causing pipes to bang? So we left a noise activated recording device overnight in this hallway. We came back the next morning to check it, and there wasn't a single noise on there. It got triggered by like traffic outside, or you could hear the crew leaving at the end of the night, like 3 a.m. But I'm like, okay, so why was it only making this noise while we were in this hallway trying to communicate to whatever was there? And it really freaked me out, because it didn't feel very inviting. It wasn't like the good witch had come to us from the other side. It was like something kind of mean.
Something unhappy that you were there. Yeah. And again, when you're willing to look at logical explanations, is it the pipes? Is it when you're willing to look at that stuff and you actually eliminate it, that gives it more credibility, because you're not eliminating it because you want something to be true. You're actually looking for a real answer.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Now, it's silly, and I know it's made by Parker Brothers. Ouija boards.
Yes. Okay, so listen, I've had some experiences with them where I'm like, that's crazy. And if you start getting into like the Ouija board lure and about like the entity that's attached to all Ouija boards, it's like this entity called like Zozo it's something crazy. And there's like this whole kind of theory about this, you know, the Ouija board is this entity's portal. So whoever has one, you're essentially only communicating with this one kind of, I don't want to say demon, because he's kind of like the theory is that he's neither good nor bad. He's just kind of like some kind of spirit thing that's attached to it. So I don't know. I've had some experiences where I'm like, yeah, dude, you're moving it. And I've had other experiences where I'm like, everyone is barely touching this and it is flying around.
I had two. We buried one in my backyard as a kid. It was being very nasty. I swear. I mean, it was moving. We weren't moving it. So yeah. It's so funny how I don't believe in a lot of this shit, but that was happening. It was fucking, we weren't moving. It was me and my fucking little brother. That thing was moving. Yeah. So we weren't moving that shit. I couldn't even spell the shit. It was me, hey, fucking it. Threatening me. So I don't know, man. Some of that shit kind of freaks. That's the only thing that I could say. Yeah. All right. Because otherwise I would just be like, ah, bullshit with everything. But
because of that. Jack, where can people see your show too? Before we wrap up, where can people see
Discovery,
it?
Discovery Plus.
Okay.
So you have the streaming platform. It's great. It's actually like not just touting it. It's actually it's a pretty good one. A lot of stuff on there. If you like crime and 90 Day Fiance and paranormal stuff, it's all there.
What's the name of it?
The show is called Haunted Homecoming.
Haunted Homecoming. And you shot it a lot of it from kind of where you grew up over in England.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, look, man, I'm going to be out in LA early November. I'd love to see you. It's good talking to you. And congratulations, man. I'm always happy when I see you doing stuff. You're really busy all the time.
Thank you. And you got to give Pearl some stand-up lessons.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention, Jack's. I went to Sharon's birthday. So I saw Jack and the family. And they introduce, we have a comedian who's been on Netflix. And Jack's 10-year-old daughter goes up and was legitimately funny and comfortable on stage. It was really crazy.
That's cute.
She was just doing little cute kid jokes, but the you can't fake the confidence, like the comfortability of talking to people. I'm like, she's really comfortable. Like, this isn't bullshit. Cute. She feels comfortable being up there. You must have been very, very proud.
Well, and she came up to me and she's like, Dad, I want to go up on the stage and tell jokes. I'm like, Pearl, we're in the middle of a party. People are like drinking and dancing on the floor. I'm not going to stop the party. So you can go tell some jokes. She's like, no, I really want to. And I'm trying to like sit because she's never done this. I'm like trying to save her from like, hey, like this could kind of not go the way you think. She's like, no, I'm going to do it. And I was like, all right, this is on you if you end up in tears. She just goes up there and just, I was like, what the shit is this? Like out of nowhere.
Your mom was very happy though, because it was your mom's birthday. So she was probably thrilled to see her granddaughter up there being great.
Everyone was like, blown away. She's actually training jujitsu now too, which is great.
You kid?
Nice.
Yeah.
I got three daughters, 9, 11, and 13. They're all training.
Nice.
So when you come visit, you bring your daughter too.
I will.
All right.
All right.
Awesome. Jack, all right, I'll see you soon, and it's good talking to you, man. And congratulations on the new season.
You guys have a good one.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon.
Hey, Jack. Jimmy.
Yes, sir. So listen, Matt, that was a great episode, and I will see you on Saturday at my house.
Oh, shit. Yeah, they were giving me the roll call and everything. I don't think they need me there that early.
Don't forget, it's an early card.
But what am I getting? We'll get all this.
We'll get over. Let me give a proper plug for the fights.
Yes.
Let's see. It's a 280, the 22nd, this Saturday in Abu Dhabi. The prelims start at 10 a.m., the main card starts at 2 p.m. That is New York time. So 7 a.m. on the West Coast. Forget my yawning. I'm very tired from work. 7 a.m. on the West Coast, 10 a.m. on the East Coast. The prelims and some good fights. If you want to catch AJ fighting Armand Petrosian, that's on the prelims. And then Caitlin starts on the main card, 2 p.m. Great fucking card. And you can still go out and do what you want Saturday night. So I will see you in a few days. Thank you to AJ. Thanks to Mataj, and of course to my pal Jack Osborne for coming on.
Jimmy, I want pizza when I come over there. I want pizza.
They're probably going to have some from Joe's Pizza. We'll have food. I might break my diet.
I want one of the best pizza places out there.
Joe's in the city is the best.
Jimmy, I swear, if you eat a fucking salad, you better be eating with me.
I'm going to eat a little bit, but no, I'm not going to go crazy. I'm going to go eat a little bit.
We'll talk about that.
Eat. All right, buddy.
Bye, Jimmy.
See you in a few days.
See you then, pal.
Hey guys, Sean Hayes here. Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and I had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to sit down with not one, not two, but three presidents of the United States on our recent episode of Smartless. That's because President Biden, a returning guest, brought two of his favorite pals, former Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, all joined us for unforgettable conversation. It's a historic episode of Smartless as we pry into the minds of these remarkable leaders. We'll cover everything from their time in office, America's responsibilities in the world, and their personal passions in an episode full of some candid stories, insightful perspectives, and a few surprises along the way. Whether you're a political junkie or just curious about the inner workings of the Oval Office, this episode is a must-listen. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to hear from three of the most influential figures in recent American history. Follow Smartless on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen to Smartless ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.